And I have learned a lot just sitting and listening to the people in the class tell me what their takeaway is. But we'll take and get started. The passage is out of Daniel 6:13, and I'll get started reading. In the waning years of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, the Lord humbled him for 7 years and then restored him to his throne, for which the king praised the Lord as the king of heavens. Daniel 4:37. But the king's descendant failed to learn this lesson. On a night of revelry, Belshazzar defiled the gold vessels taken from the Lord's temple. He then observed mysterious fingers writing on the wall, which Daniel interpreted as God's coming judgment upon the king. That very night, Belshazzar was killed, and Babylon was conquered by Darius, Cyrus of the Medo-Persian Empire. Daniel then served Darius as an administrator of the kingdom. The key concept of this is we honor God when we live in faith and trust in all situations. As we look through Daniel 6, 13 to 24, recognize that Daniel felt honoring God with his life was more important than preserving it. Consider that when we are falsely accused, we can rest in God's justice. One of the first questions is, have you ever been caught with your hand in the cookie jar? And the flip. And so the flip side of that is, have you ever been caught doing something good for someone that you didn't want them to know about? So the scripture for Daniel 6:13 through 18 reads, "Then they replied to the king, 'Daniel, one of the Judean exiles has ignored you.' The king has ignored you, the king, and the edict you signed, for he prays three times a day. As soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. He set his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him. Then these men went together to the king and said to him, 'You know, your majesty, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no edict or ordinance the king establishes can be changed.' So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you.' A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and he could not sleep." Leading up to that, these Judeans were jealous of Daniel because the king smiled on him when the king took over the city, and he made Daniel the third in command. And these people were ate up with jealousy, and they worked and worked to figure out a way to catch Daniel doing something. And then they made the king sign an edict that the only person that the people could pray to was the king. And when Daniel heard that, he went home and Daniel prayed. And they caught him praying. And that brings us up to where we are now. Got a few questions. In what circumstances can trusting God's power bring you comfort?
Say that again.
In what circumstances can trusting God's power bring you comfort?
The only place you can get it, really.
And you know, it's like taking a breath. When you don't put your faith in the Lord, you take that breath, it comes out, and it's gone. But when you breathe Jesus in, it's there all day long. You ain't gonna run out of it. So, Daniel had served foreign kings with distinction and boldness. He warned Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, and he confronted Belshazzar in Daniel 5. Then he served Darius. Daniel was by far the king's best administrator, and he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to put him in charge of everything. Daniel 6:3. It may be difficult for us to imagine our faith could lead to success in the sinful world, but Daniel proved it can, as Joseph did in Genesis 41. Yet there's an important caveat. Our faith may lead us to rise in responsibility, but it may just as well lead us to the lion's den. True faith recognizes we are in God's hands to do as he wills, to serve as he would have us, regardless of the circumstances or the outcomes. Yeah.
But most of the time we're too busy working, figuring out how we're going to make it, and how it's going to work, and how we're going to manage this, that, and the other. Then when we get down and all our plans don't work anymore, then we go, Lord, I'm just going to depend on you. And I go, you know, why didn't I do that a month ago or 6 months ago?
You know, the lion's growling behind you and the guys are rolling the rock in front of you. It's... It don't take long, and you know, it's sad that, you know, you can put this same message in front of so many people, and they still depend on themselves instead of, you know, just praying and, you know, believing and praying. Yeah.
And if we could learn that in the midst of all the resources we have, because we have so many resources, what could he do with our faith in the resources that they're able to do with their faith with no resources?
So Daniel was put into a cave, essentially a tomb, and its entrance was covered with a stone and legally sealed, so that Daniel's death sentence would be sealed. Daniel 6:16-17. Similarly, Jesus' body, after his crucifixion, was placed in a carved out tomb. and a stone was placed against its entrance with a seal. Matthew 27:59-60 and 66. Daniel faced hungry lions, but miraculously came out alive. Jesus, having already suffered death at the hands of human beings, went into the tomb as a corpse, but he too came out alive. In this, Daniel is a type of Christ, as both were faithful unto death, figurative and literal, respectively, and both were raised up. How do you think about the suffering you experience in life? And how should you?
Well, obviously nobody enjoys it. But go through it. You know that there's somebody holding us up. He's going to see us through it. He promised he would. Nobody likes suffering.
And
anybody that ever has gone through it, I don't know anybody that hadn't suffered something in life. But the peace of knowing that you got the Lord there, being there with you, to go through it. Daniel obviously did. Because it was written and told. They call him praying. That was supposedly it wasn't normal for them, but he had to. I mean, he wanted to, because he knew God was his source of strength. And then doing what they did to him, I don't think he was worried about not one little bit how things was going to turn out.
For me, it was the harder I fought to accept the fact that what I was going through, I wasn't gonna fix it. It wasn't gonna fix itself. And the more it pressed down, it eventually pushed me to my knees. And when that happened, I got up and I went up to the altar. And that's when everything started getting better for me. I haven't looked back since. There were those that grew up in the church and they knew all these things. And I was that wild child that just, I kicked back. I didn't want to see, let someone else, or I wanted to do everything on my own. But now that I see, it's a lot easier to hit your knees on your own accord than have everything on your shoulders put you there. It lightens the load so much. It makes it so much easier. So it says down here, following God and being a believer in Jesus Christ can come with persecution in our own world. Yet we continue to live in faith because he is with us and has saved us. We don't fear death because he has resurrection power. Whereas those without Christ will suffer an eternal death. God's justice, led not only to the accuser's condemnation, but also to Daniel's salvation. Daniel was not a perfect man, only Jesus is, but he is a good man who truly loved the Lord and was faithful in worshiping him alone. Verse 23 states that Daniel was saved because he trusted in his God. Not for the strength of our faith that saves us, but for the strength of the one in whom we place our faith, and there is no one stronger than God. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. There is nothing God cannot do as long as it does not contradict his own nature or law. God has power and authority over the universe he created, from the largest solar system to the smallest particle, affirming that God is all-powerful and does not, affirming that God is all-powerful does not mean that God can sin, since that would go against his perfect moral nature. As Christians, we rest in the belief that the God who has all power is good, and we can gain great comfort by knowing that an all-powerful God is working for our good and joy. In what circumstances can trusting God's power bring you comfort? Just knowing that he's the one that brings the day. It may trouble us that the families of the accusers were executed as well. But the comment is made without approval or disapproval. It was Darius's decision to make, and he made it. Darius recognized God's power, but that doesn't mean he became a believer or a follower that day. He was still the king of Persia with the king of Persia's appetites and sense of right and wrong. What does this passage teach us about God's justice? I missed a part. I'm sorry. I'll read you Daniel 6, 19 through 24. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. "Daniel, servant of the living God," the king said, "has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke with the king. "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they haven't harmed me, for I was found innocent before him, and also before you. Your Majesty, I have not done harm." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. When Daniel was brought up from the den, he was found to be unharmed, for he trusted in his God. The king then gave the command, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den. They, their children, their wives. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones.
Because a lot of them, they don't even know that they're
And men, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but in general, men have gone the same way as the rest of the world when it comes to social media and, man, it's Sunday, I only got one more day of deer hunting, and putting worldly things in front of the things that matter most. You know, our children are a gift from the Lord. Our wives are a gift from the Lord. And when we lose track or sight of the gifts that we've been blessed with, outside of cars, houses, shotguns, whatever, the two things that will always be, the three things that will always be with us, the Lord, our wives, our children. And that's one of the biggest things that I take away from this lesson is if one of them, just one of those persons would have stood up and said, no, you're not right. You set this up. You put this man in a position where he would be caught. All it took was one person, one man with a backbone to stand up for what was right. For me, when I was in my 20s, I was a terror. But when I hit 40, 50, really when I hit my 50s, I started looking around and at all the things that me as a person had missed out on, and then getting saved and seeing the blessings, even the little ones. I mean, the things that we take for granted every day. And now it's like, I get up, I look forward to seeing the sun. It's another day, another chance to get things right. There are so many interruptions in life compared to where life was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And it's where we have to, you know, help our families, help our kids. 'Cause the kids are the church. All we are is we have lived our lives. So now you might as well call us missionaries and volunteers, because we volunteer to have these families. And our mission is to take care of them. And just like missionaries that go overseas or go into the community, we need to go back into our families and, you know, pray for them, teach them the Bible, teach them it's okay to go to church. It's okay to sit down with someone you don't even know and pray for them. 'Cause just a little prayer to someone that's having a day that you wouldn't even want to have would go so far. It's lifting each other up. So I'll hurry up. How did Daniel's life of integrity impact the people around him, both positively and negatively? I think we pretty much covered that one. And what are some ways we can show faithfulness to God in our spheres of influence? Just like Daniel. That's, you know, Daniel was, he was in a bad spot. And we've all been there. And he could have said, oh man, these guys, they're going to do something ugly to me. I just know they are. But he said, you know what? My God is stronger than anything else. So he prayed. And that's, and you know, prayer, we pray and sometimes it's not answered in the moment. But it's answered in God's time. I mean, it's like that little kid at Christmas. I want to open a present. And Dad says, you got to wait until the last, and you got to open that one last. And that's where that patience and staying in the Word and staying in the Lord goes so far. It's a beautiful thing. Faith is often seen, I'll finish up real quick. Faith is often seen as less real than reason, as if reason were the basis for all that exists and faith were a fantasy some people live in. But the Christian faith is not a leap in the dark. It's not a vague hope. It's a trust placed in the living God. Faith is looking at the world and seeing behind it all the mighty hand of God at work. Reason alone isn't enough. It can't explain all that happens in this world, but faith in God can sustain us through it all. As your faith in God sustains you through difficult times. Yeah, it's Daniel's outward faith was driven by his inward trust in God. He knew God loved him, and that allowed him to live fearlessly in the world. Knowing God loves us radically changes how we live. We can rest in his unchanging nature. We can rest in his grace, knowing that the salvation he accomplished for us in Christ is all that we'll ever need. We don't have to fear whatever the world might throw at us because Christ has overcome it. What fears keep you from bold, faithful obedience to God in the world? The world. True faith is never without works, but always leads to an outward expression of trust in God. James 2:26. Daniel's expression of faith led to a night spent in a lion's den, but that was okay with Daniel. He knew God loved him. If you know God loves you, it puts steel in your spine to stand against whatever schemes the devil in this world throw at you. There's some challenges here. Take some time to list the ways God has been faithful to you in the last year. There's an idea that Christians should be better members of the community because our standards are higher. Philippians 2:14 and Colossians 3:17. Daniel lived this way. Consider how you can show faithfulness to God in your work, your church, and your family for God's glory. In our part of the world, we may not face threats of death for our faith, though we could. But the Bible says that anyone who seeks to live godly life will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. Ask God to give you a bold faith and strength to face persecution, and pray for those who are being persecuted for Christ around the world. Any more prayer requests? So, the sixth day in the study book, the last piece of scripture is out of Psalms. So, I'll read. It's Psalm 91 for this lesson, and I'll take and read it. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Your truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and you will see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. And I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that's it. Any questions? Any thoughts?
This was my song during COVID. I prayed this daily over our family. One of the versions says, no disease shall come nigh to your house, all that and everything. And I prayed that over our family daily during COVID. It's a beautiful song.
I'll close this out. Father God, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for watching over us as we went about our busy days and helped us get here to your house so we can share the word together. Just ask that we take some, all, or even just a piece of what we learned tonight back out the door and share it with someone. We love you and we thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, your blessings, and most of all, your love for us. We love you and we thank you so much. Amen.